This is the Word of God from the Household of David Church. It is a message designed to raise men after God's own heart. Listen and be blessed.
Isaiah 52 verse 12. Now I have limited time every Sunday till Jesus comes. Hallelujah. For you shall not go out with what? What's haste? What's the next one? No, go by. If you stop taking flights. That means cancel airport trip. Otherwise, I disobey the Bible. He said, you shall not go by flight. You can go by the sea. If you are here planning to go to Canada or UK, hear the word of the Lord. You shall not go by flight. It's not saying you should not go. You can drive. Hallelujah. Why? For the Lord will go before you. And the God of Israel shall be your rear world. Glory to God. I want to begin to talk about seasons of life. And I'm connecting it still to restoration. You don't bring opportunities. God brings opportunities, but you must recognize them. And there are seasons. Thou shalt not go out. You are supposed to go, but not in haste. What makes this very, God bless you, can I have your seat? Interesting is the fact that Ecclesiastes 8:5. We will just start this morning. Next service, I'll talk about something else. I'll begin talking about world war. Not word as in W-O-R-L-D. W-O-R-D. World war. Because I'm beginning to talk about spiritual warfare. Amen. And on that, we are starting with World War. World War One and Two. Hallelujah. Also keeping the commandment shall feel no evil thing. It's part B I'm going. And a wise man's heart. A wise man's heart discerns both time and judgment. Why? Why must you discern time and judgment? The answer is in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Let's read. Listen, by the time we are through, maybe next week or week, this is why you will begin to understand why you must be a man and a woman of prayer. There can be an indecent exposure. There can be a premature exposure, and there can be the right exposure. One of the mysteries of life, there are about five of them. And depending on where you are in life, where you are in life will determine which one is the most important part time. There is a mystery of what we talks about. What am I supposed to be doing? There is a mystery of why. Why was I created in the first place? When a woman or a man cannot find answers to these things. But the one I want to talk about today that fits what we are talking about is the question or the mystery of when. There are many things you should do. It's about when. Listen, in the spirit, a moment as short as a day can make a lifetime difference. People have left their job. When you hear great things in the Bible, at times, if a Bible scholar or a Bible student, it's also good to cast your mind back and try to think that what about What of if it did not happen that way? For instance, the day David's father came and he just said, your brothers are at the battlefield. Number one, he should feel bad that he was not enlisted in the army, only his brothers were. And he said, go and give food to your brother. What of if David said that day, I am not going? David will miss Goliath. He will not meet Goliath that day. Nobody will be reading about David and Goliath today. Could it be that everybody listening to me now, those who are sitting there and those who will watch, what about if you get to heaven and you discover that opportunities were born? Because this is the African mistake. I can take you through the Bible for you to realize that great things happen to people on ordinary days. And most of the great things did not come with prayer announcements. This is why man misses his time from time to time. Because they expect that when something big will happen. Can you imagine? Number one, David was called a prophet in the Bible. He was called a priest and he was a king. David heard God, saw an angel, saw a vision. But on the day we killed Goliath, there was no vision, no dream, no prophetic word, no announcement. Everything looked ordinary. Carry food to your brother. Not knowing that carrying food will define his destiny. And from an obscure shepherd boy, an entire nation will know about one boy in one moment. Could it be that God has planned that moment? Listen, never think for once that some destinies are greater than others. What of if God also planned a visit somewhere changes your life forever? A visit somewhere. I know one of the senators in a particular dispensation in this country. The political party were having a meeting. I don't know whether flat under his clinic or so. And on a particular day, he just shifted his car for their chairman or so to park. And he said, that guy is very nice, a doctor, blah, 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 this one. And that was his journey. When they fought to a place and they needed a man, they said, okay, this one doesn't know politics. He's a professional. He's innocent. Bring him in. And then that was his journey. If he did not go to work that day, you got times and seasons in your hand. You call for light out of darkness. You don't need no man. You have. So Abraham's servant stood. While we're praying this morning, the Lord gave us a word for people to marry. So Abraham's servant stood by the well. Rebecca was just bringing, and that was it. Genesis 24. What about if Rebecca was tired that day? A 40-year-old man by the name Isaac, who was going to carry the inheritance that God gave to his friend Abraham, one boy that everything will sit upon, only needed a wife, and he was not to marry within his vicinity. Now, Rebecca had no idea. She did not even know there was anybody called Isaac. She was just running her errand normally. And then it turned out to be. But there's a story I want to go to today about how people can miss seasons. But I'm just laying the foundation. And whenever my time says it's enough, it's enough. Are you getting what I'm saying? Is somebody following me this morning? So go back to the Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, it explains. To everything, there is a season. Everybody say it loud. Say everything.
Everything.
Say it again.
Everything.
Say it again.
Everything.
I have personally discovered from my experience, when two people are dating, a time comes, if they really love each other, a window of opportunity is open for them to get married that time. If they don't, it begins to get more and more difficult. There will be an opportunity where you can buy a property easier than any other time. The most important thing that you don't create opportunities. When you do, you'll be swindled. But you must recognize the one God has created. You know, there are people that God will send into your life for a season. And when the season is over, you must know. To everything, there is a season. Once you think of anything at all, I want to marry, I want to change my job. Somebody can resign his job in 2024 and live in regret for the rest of his life. But if you only wait till January 2025 and he resigns, it changes everything. I have sat down with parents who said, if I only waited for 3 more years before sending my 16-year-old boy abroad, he wouldn't be on drugs today. 3 more years. Oh, my friends and children are going abroad, you to go. And the boy was 14. There was one that when they were talking to me, I felt this pain. He was one of the most brilliant here. He was 17. And the father said, the only mistake I made that I felt see that it was not time for him to travel. And then I told him to go and do, you know, to go and study abroad, and he got to university there. The guy will sit down in his room and he watched pornography from morning till evening. He wasn't going for lectures at all. The lecturer wrote the father. They went to his room. They tried to get him well psychologically. He just became so addicted that he woke up in the morning with a plate of cup of coffee in his hand. He will open the net and plug into pornography. I'm not from morning till night. Day one, day two, week one, week two, week three, he never attended lecture. The first semester that was in school was one of the best. All of a sudden, they will watch in the night. It became night and day. It became night, day, afternoon, every time, and then that was it. The father said that the only mistake I made, he said it was a good boy when he was here, a good boy, a wonderful guy. So they went to rescue him and brought him back. And you know, when they brought his sanity returned. And after some years, he traveled back again, and this time around, he's happily, everything is fine. Times and seasons. To everything, and the Bible says, to every a time, to every purpose. Once you propose to do something, there is the right time and the wrong time for that purpose. Huh. And then the way it's a time to be born. Can you give me verse 5? But go down, verse 5. A time, verse 6. There's a place where he says that, verse 7, because of this, I was told that robbers went to somebody's house. And when they wanted to kill him, they read this passage to him, that there's a time to be born and a time to die. So it's your time to die. Amen. I have seen the travail that God has given sons of men. And he said, why people travail is because of this factor. Once this factor is missing, travail starts. And you will think that the God created men in this world to suffer, sweat, and labor. Now, Solomon is saying that this is the reason for hard labor, for struggles, and what you see for hustling. He said, once it is missing, a man will travail, a woman will travail. Verse 11. He made everything beautiful in his time. Once the timing is right, things get beautiful. And he said he has set eternity in the heart of men. But there's a scripture that says that because a man does not understand his time, his mysteries are great upon him. Life becomes mysterious, full of labor. I want to show you a story, and I'll close this morning. We are going to continue next week. Genesis 16. There is a lady called Hagar. Or there was one lady, one maid called Hagar. Hagar was Abraham's slave or housemaid. Well, I don't want to go into some other detailed discussion, but you see, anytime you veer into what God has not asked you to go into, you are going to come up with a baggage. And that baggage will hurt you later. Satan is very wicked. See, the most wicked operation of the devil is not a direct attack. It's an attack planted like a time bomb. Wait, can wait for years. Calculate very well. When you read the Bible, don't think the Bible is something mysterious. It's very easy to calculate in the Bible. Things, how something led, you can calculate age. For instance, it was the year Methuselah died that the flood hit the earth. If you calculate 969, Noah was about 500 when the rain started. And it was, you can just calculate like that with, it's very easy to do. How old was Hagar? Where did Abraham get Hagar from? Hagar was an Egyptian. Probably, Abraham got Hagar when he went to Egypt and he lied that Sarah was not his wife. But the Bible was silent about Hagar. So Abraham went to Egypt in chapter 13 or so. The Bible didn't talk about Hagar in chapter 14, chapter 15. All the while, probably she was about 13, according to what some scholars said, between 9 and 13 when Abraham took her from Egypt. Flat chest, like a girl, young girl. But she began to grow. When God told Abraham to leave his father's house, he was 75. So, you can begin to imagine, it was around that time that he first of all went to Egypt. And they took Hagar. By the time God appeared to Abraham again, and he said, I am the Almighty, walk before Abraham was 99. Remember, Ishmael was 14 years older than Isaac. So probably, so you can calculate, by this time around, add 14 to Abraham. So when Abraham was around 90, that was when he gave birth to Ishmael. As at that time, Hagar must, who was about 9, 10, 11 or 12 then, just add 10 years or 14 to her life. All of a sudden, Hagar had become a beautiful girl, beautiful Egyptian babe in the house. So Sarah just said to Abraham that immediately after circumcision, when God appeared to Abraham, chapter 15, it was chapter 2 that he circumcised everybody. He had an encounter with God. He fell asleep. He saw darkness. He made a covenant with God. God told him to lay animals. He called them into two. One part on this and one part so that the blood will spill between them. And Abraham walked through the blood. That was how they used to do covenant at that time. And in the night, he was watching. He saw two legs of fire. That was God walking through the path. So God, so you will do that. Somebody will stand there. You will go there. Somebody will come here. Then you walk on the blood. That's covenant. So Abraham walked in the afternoon. In the night, he saw God walking also. And he saw two pillars of fire. And he said, today I swear to you that I will give your disciples, your descendants. Meaning that you will have a son. But Abraham was alone on a mountain. That's why some encounters that you have with God, you must bring the closest people to you inside. If they are not, they will confuse you later. But Mom Sarah was at home watching my dad in Los Angeles. What's so popular? With all the mighty encounters, Abraham came back home. And Mom Sarah said that, sorry, God just told Abraham now to carry knife, circumcise, and God swore to Abraham by himself that you are going to have a son. He even let him see his leg physically walking through that thing. He said, but your descendant will spend 400 years in a foreign land. God told Abraham all that, Genesis 15. And Abraham got home. Chapter 16, verse 1. Mom Sarah said that, you know, we are not going to have a son. Women are powerful. She removed all the revelation God gave him in one conversation. I thought the man would say that I saw God last night. I said, Mommy Sarah began to say. That's why if you are a man and the head of a family, you cannot be too emotional. You must lead in love, but you must lead. It is true. All women are emotional. And if you follow them at all times, you will make a very terrible mistake. Not because they are bad, but there is a way they interpret things. Many times they are right. For instance, now, if there is a wrong friend in your life, your wife will pick it first. But you see, after a while, she can also pick the right person and call it the wrong person. Can I just say this to all women that are here? If somehow you are not happy when your husband is talking about his family members, repent and stop it. It is one of the ways to start destroying the foundation of your marriage. As a pastor, I've heard too many reports and I've seen this too many times. How some women just want the man to himself. Once he's talking about his younger brother, there might be a bit troublesome, but you see, his family is supposed to give you a special place. You are above it, no doubt about that. But don't begin to show a sign of you are not interested. Don't talk about your family. Once you start doing that, you start, it's not good. Did you get that? I'm just saying to all the young ladies out here, don't do that. If he mentions at all that he's giving, I'm not saying a man should be overgiving to family at the expense of the family at home. Many men, that is wrong. But you see, don't have a stand that once the conscience goes around his family, you are angry. Especially if it's the type that he cares about your whole family. But you don't want him to talk about his, you are going to get into trouble. Don't do that. And so many women do that. And of course, men also should care about the woman and her family. Because that is another extreme, and that one is even more common. Because you are at the end of the family, you can't be going to visit your own parents, carry your wife along, and our own parents you don't visit. When she mentions that, you get angry. And we just call them on phone. Did you call your own on phone? Anyway, it's not very similar. Let me have limited time. Is somebody with me? Are you with me? If you allow one of the parties to stay with you, and for some reason the other one wants to also be, as a man, you must be fair in your judgment. You cannot say only your mom will come and our own mom cannot come. Actually, the woman, when your mom is around, you are happy. When your husband's mom is around, you begin to look for trouble. You don't do that. I know some parents overbearing, they have their issues. Exactly, they are not staying for more than one, two. Just manage. You will save a lot by controlling your emotion that time. But see, what you do and what you say that time might not be forgotten for a long time. It's not every time we're happy with all the people around us. But at times, maturity demands that you just give a little understanding. Yes. His mom shows up with the bag. The way you squeeze her, everybody can tell that you're angry. So why did you marry him? Did you marry him so he will block the family? You don't do that. Love your in-laws. Even the trouble, I know there are in-laws that are... It's like the whole of African magic. That's the most common that you see. There is one mother-in-law that is a monster that comes in and start disturbing the family. Amen. A lot of marriages would have lasted longer, but people came to destroy it. I don't know why families do that. The man and his wife don't have any problem between themselves until the guy's brother shows up or the guy's mom shows up, and then all the problem will start all over again. And the mom will say that, you see, your wife, she said this in the kitchen. Why did you go to her kitchen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Please, forgive me if you... Because someone is watching and wondering, but okay, I'm just saying that we should be kind one to another and we should have understanding. It's important. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We bless you. Anyway, so she brought this girl from Egypt. And Mommy Sarah said, look at this lady. And then Abraham went after her and she conceived. Sarah made a terrible mistake. That's why I said that. Now, she violated the scripture we started with. Our flight was in haste. I want to have a child. I don't care how. Even if it means through my maid. It is only the blessing of God that makes rich and adds no sorrow. Any other form of blessing, they can come if you are desperate enough. But you see, the regret that will follow. As young as I am, you want to know how many grandpas I minister to who are now regretting? How do you feel as a young pastor with an elderly man telling you that the reason why my daughters can't get married is that I use them as an exchange for my success? Why pursuing success? At the end of the day, and in the weakness of Satan, it will wait. So, Agar was there for years. She didn't look harmful. But Abraham did not know that the bag he took to Egypt did not return empty. Satan planted something in the bag and waited for the right time. Then Agar, till today, all over the world, till today, Isaac versus Ishmael is still on, till today, because Agar gave birth to Ishmael. I wonder how Papa Abraham will feel in heaven. On top of all that God has given him, this regret will remain with Papa Abraham forever. Forever. Two sons of the same father is the reason why there's no peace on earth. He too that God spoke to decided to allow his flight to be in haste, also to allow it, it went out in haste. If God has said he will give you, so why don't you wait? Then, of course, did you notice Abraham did not argue at all? One Sarah said that, sleep with my maid, he said it's a good idea. He had been looking at her before. Sorry, I I don't want to get here. Papa Abraham would say, come here, idiot. You know, say, hey, old great grandpa Abraham said, I saw your message. You said I was looking at it. So let me skip that part. Eh? But he did not say, he didn't even say, Sarah, didn't you just say that? Imagine every man here, if you genuinely love your wife and your heart is clean, your wife coming home one day and saying that, you know what, I just want you to marry second wife. And you see, look at Chichi, the girl that we normally send on an errand. I don't want you to, she's young and agile, marry her. You will be like, sorry, are you okay? But Papa didn't say that. Father didn't say that. Immediately, just say, okay. And immediately, she got, you know, Satan is wicked. I can stand there and tell you too many inequalities of life. I have seen people, after prayers, when they finally had the pregnancy, all kinds of rules. Don't wear belts. Don't do this. Bed rest for 2 months. I'm not understand what I'm saying. I see people like that. It's usually the people that it took prayer to conceive that also tried today against pregnancy. They will put them on the bed. But see, there is a young girl, Hawking Orange, who slept with a boy on that staircase. She does not want to get pregnant. I dealt with one case. When I saw that she was pregnant, she bought this bed they call an abortion belt. She would tie her stomach like this and hawk from morning till night. The baby stayed. But you were. She did all sorts. I don't know if you can understand what I'm saying. You still see them around. She's carrying things under a very old son, and the belly is there, and the baby is holding on. I'm coming to this word, say. But they want to, and this girl, if they tell her that you have had a miscarriage, do you know she will rejoice? Because she's ashamed. She doesn't want it. The guy has probably run away. She does not want the pregnancy. That is one that will stay. But this one that the guy and herself, they've spent money, they've seen doctor, they fasted and prayed. Now she's pregnant eventually. Now they are saying that stay at home. Bed rest. Don't stand up. Don't eat this. Don't do that. Don't do any rigorous stuff. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you. Are you with me? A guy got pregnant and problems started. Give me that verse. The Bible says when she saw that she was pregnant, she despised her mistress. She was never rude to Sarai for once until she noticed. The Bible says her mistress was despised. One day, she told her, Sarah said, I go and fetch water. I said, what happened to your own hand? I'm pregnant. I'm tired. I'm having morning sickness. In fact, madam, maybe you should make tea for me. If you want to know what, I've only had this experience, or I've heard about it only once in this nation. A lady told me, highly placed people from a part of the country where people are allowed to marry as many wives as possible. They were all in the cabinet together that time. The woman said that the wife of the top man came one day to her house. She fell on her lap and started crying. She thought the woman lost a child. Said, what happened? Said, no. Said, can you imagine? I used my money to bring a maid from my hometown to the house. I paid that maid 60K every month as salary to be doing house chore. I said, my husband grabbed her one day and impregnated her. And then their spiritual head came and said that in what they believe, their religion, that she must become a wife. And the man said to the wife that from today, you take care of her. He said, so now I am the maid. I cook and she eats. But he said, nothing. Now she has her own children, no? He just said, you know, in our culture, I must not talk. So she left outside. She came to cry outside because she must not. When certain women marry into some things, you ask yourself, Do you really know what you are getting into? There are people by the virtue of what they believe. A woman is not more than a slave. A son has authority more than the wife. You don't check. He's buying meat pie for you. And you are not thinking about the philosophy that they believe. What they... It's about demoniacs. Dominos, you know. He buys you nice perf. Anyone you see, beyond appearance, check the philosophy. What is the mindset? What do they truly believe? Not only him in his family, what do they believe? God forbid, you see, we do insurance not because we think we'll die. Christians will avoid all those things before, but you have to think about the future. What do they believe if something happens to the man and he dies? Is it the family that will come straight away, banish you and your children and seize the property? It's our brother's property. Or do they recognize, even some of those things, you sweated to do it together. Now their brother is gone, they sit over it. I still have to defend a member of the church on this matter, even in this 21st century. And the bulk of the money belonged to her. She works in a bank. The guy died and the family came. They changed the parlor, changed everything. Our son's inheritance. I supported her going to the court. We supported her with prayer and we physically were present. You will get all your properties back. What do they mean by their son's property? But see, I when people are in trouble, it's not time to blame them. But later I felt like asking her that, didn't you know the kind of family we're marrying into? The signs would have been there. You married your son for 13 years and they are still seeing you as an outcast. 3 kids for one man. They didn't even care about the kid. One of them said that when they grow up, we'll know what to do with them. But pending that time, you want to seize all the property. They came to carry the 2 cars. As if they were waiting for the guy to die before. So when the pastor, the Christian is sick, is not everybody coming to check you that is coming to check you. So everybody just coming to check, not to wish you well, but to wonder when. Hallelujah. Shall we rise? I've not even started. I was going to use Agar as an example, how she left Abraham's house prematurely and what the angel told her. But I'm going to continue next week. But is it okay this morning? Is somebody blessed already? Thank you, Lord Jesus. We give you praise. Lift up your right hand. Just say, to every purpose, there is a time. Say it again. Say a season for everything under the sun. Thank you, Jesus. We give you praise. We love you. We worship you. All glory to your name. Just lift up your hand and just bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for the presence of your spirit. Help us to be doers and not hearers only. We give you praise, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for being a part of our broadcast. You know, we never like to end without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Coming into Christ is beyond joining a church, is beyond a religion. It is joining God's family. And that is done when you believe in Christ Jesus. So I just want to lead you right away now. If you want to give your heart to Christ, just say after me, say, Lord Jesus, I believe that you died and rose again and that you paid for my sins. I accept you as my Lord and my Savior, and from today I belong to you. If you have said those words, we'll believe you are born again. You are part of God's family right now. You can go ahead and rejoice about it. God bless you. We love you. Stay blessed.